We've been studying the book of Joshua for a number of weeks now. And we've been in this chapter 7, for 3 weeks. This is our third week. And next week we will move on to chapter 8. But I wanted to stop in chapter 7 for a few lessons, because this is one of the most important chapters in the Bible. Let me just remind you of what is happening here. The people of Israel have been delivered from slavery in Egypt, and God has guided them through the wilderness to the promised land. And there Moses died, and then Joshua took over the leadership of God's people. And under the leadership of Joshua, the people of God crossed the River Jordan and entered the promised land. This was land that God had promised Abraham hundreds of years before. And so they began the task of occupying the land. And they came to the first city, the city of Jericho, this walled city. And we read about how God gave them the city of Jericho. They didn't have to besiege the city and break down the walls. God broke down the walls of Jericho. And they had been given clear instructions. They'd been told, when you go into Jericho, there are some things which are labeled devoted things, which the people of Jericho used in their idolatry. And the people of Israel were told specifically, you will not bring those things out, you will destroy them. They are things devoted to destruction. And in this passage we read about this man Achan. And it's an important passage, because we're reading here about sin in the community of God's people. We're not reading here about sin by the Egyptians, or by the people of Assyria, or by some other Gentile nation. We're not talking about people who do not know God, and who do not have the law of God, and who do not know the character of God. We're not talking about those people here. We're talking about the people of Israel. We're talking about the tribe of Judah. We're talking about this man Achan. And this man Achan is in the community of God's people. He knows about the law that God has given his people. He knows that God hates idolatry. The first two commandments are addressed to idolatry. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a graven image. And Achan knows that God is holy. I don't know if he was at Mount Sinai when the law was given, but he would certainly have heard about it, because Sinai was such a huge experience in the lives of the people. Because the holiness of God was declared at Mount Sinai, when there was thunder and there was lightning and the people were terrified. And Moses came with his face shining with the tablets of the law. God is holy. And Achan knows all this. And knowing all this, Achan falls into dreadful sin. The walls of Jericho have come down, and the people of Israel enter the city to destroy everything in it. And Achan enters a house, quite obviously by himself. And he looks around this house, and he sees a wedge of gold. And he sees a piece of cloth made from Shinar, this beautiful robe from Shinar. And he sees 200 shekels of silver. And as he admits it, he coveted these things. And he hid them in his cloak, and he ran out of Jericho and ran to the place where Israel had camped, and goes into his tent, and he digs a hole, and he hides there these things that he has taken. And he knows he shouldn't do it. That's why it's all done in secret. Well, we've been looking at this passage, and the first sermon we saw why it was that Achan sinned. And then last time I was looking at this passage, we were seeing what Achan did when he actually sinned. And this evening I want to look at this passage with this third thing in mind, the consequences of Achan's sin. If there's one thing you need to learn about sin from the Bible, you need to learn this: sin has consequences. Sin always has consequences. You don't read in the Bible about a person commits a certain sin and there is no ripple effect. There's no consequences upon himself and upon others. There is no such thing. Every sin has consequences because we as God's people live in communities. They lived in a community and we live in a community. And so there's always a ripple effect. There's a ripple effect upon our members of our family and members of our church and the wider Christian community and so on. And it's important for us this evening then to look at this, the consequences of Achan's sin. I want to bring to your attention three things, three consequences that are recorded in this passage of Achan's sin. And the first is this, the first consequence of his sin is this, that the whole nation of Israel was judged. The whole nation of Israel was judged. When you look at the passage and how the passage is as worded, you notice the way that God speaks about this. Look at it from verse 1. And it says there, "But the people of Israel broke faith in regard to the devoted things." Do you notice it doesn't say, "But Achan broke faith in regard to the devoted things." It says the people of Israel broke faith in regard to the devoted things. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, took some of the devoted things. And you see the same thing in verse 10 when God speaks to Joshua. Joshua is on his face crying out to God, and God speaks to Joshua in verse 10. And God says, "Get up, why have you fallen on your face? Israel has sinned. Israel has sinned. They have transgressed my covenant that I commanded them. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen and lied and put them among their own belongings." There's a very important lesson that we need to learn from this passage. When God deals with his people, God deals with them as a community, as a unit. Now, there's no question that God deals with us individually. Of course he does. He has saved each one of us individually. He has sent Christ to die for each one of us individually. And when we come to repent of our sins and trust in the Lord Jesus, he forgives my sins and he forgives your sins individually. We receive these blessings of salvation when we get saved. But then when we get saved, God puts us in a community. This is such an obvious lesson in the Bible that it is not declared in so many words, but it's everywhere. You see, in the Old Testament, and it's Israel. The Old Testament is about Israel. Now, of course, there were individuals in Israel. There was David, and there was Solomon, and the kings, and so on. But you read the history of Israel, and God is dealing with the nation of Israel. So when Israel is walking faithfully with God, when Israel is obeying the law of God and is being faithful to her God, then God blesses Israel. And the nation of Israel receives rain and receives sun and receives food. And when a nation comes and attacks Israel, God protects Israel. God raises up an army and God enables the army and the commanders to fight. And God protects his people. It is the people of Israel. And then you come to the New Testament. And in many ways, yes, in the New Testament, God deals with individuals at a deeper level than he does in the Old Testament. But the Old Testament, the New Testament, is still about the community of God's people. Because you find a very similar thing in that when people become Christians, they are immediately formed into a local church. And the New Testament is about church. So you read, for example, in the book of Acts, Peter preaches on the day of Pentecost, and thousands are converted. And Peter doesn't say to them, well, praise God, your sins are forgiven, you're now born again, and you are now in fellowship with God. Off you go to your houses and live the Christian life because God has given you His Spirit. He doesn't say that. You know what happens in Acts? They are baptized. And they become members of the local church in Jerusalem. And straight away, still in Acts chapter 2, the same chapter where we've got Peter's sermon and the conversion of the 3,000, that very same chapter, Luke says to us, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. You see, he immediately begins to speak about those who are saved in Jerusalem as a community. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the prayer and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread. They became this church. And then you read on in the book of Acts and you read about Paul's missionary journeys. You read about how the church in Antioch sends Paul on his first missionary journey and he goes to what is today Turkey and the district of Galatia. And Paul and Barnabas go to this place and they go to villages and towns and they preach the gospel. And the Spirit of God is pleased to go with them. And the Spirit of God anoints his preaching. And the Spirit of God works in those who listen to his preaching. And many of those are converted. So you read about towns like Lystra and Derbe. And you read about how Paul goes into these towns and how he preaches and people are saved. And you read in Acts 14 that these believers were organized into local churches and elders were appointed in each church. You read about the second missionary journey and he goes into what is today Greece and he goes to Philippi. And there people become Christians and a local church is formed. And he goes on to Thessalonica and to Berea, into Athens, into Corinth. Wherever people respond to the gospel, a local church is formed. And then later you notice Paul writes to the church at Philippi and to the church at Ephesus and to the church at Corinth. God's people are organized in communities and God deals with his people in communities. He deals with us individually, yes, but he also deals with us in communities. And therefore, when a person in the local church or in the Old Testament, we're looking at the Old Testament passage here, and this man Achan sins, and we have no evidence that anybody was with him. It's highly unlikely his wife and children were with him. Women didn't go into these things. It was men who did this war business. And there's no mention that some other Israelite was with him. Achan is alone when he goes into this house and Achan takes these things and Achan goes back to his tent and buries them. But when God records the incident, it says Israel broke faith with the Lord with regard to the devoted things. And when God speaks to Joshua, God says Israel has sinned. They have transgressed my covenant that I commanded them. Because God deals with us in communities. And so the whole nation of Israel was judged. And when you take that into the New Testament, It's one of these things where you have to be very, very careful how you actually apply it in New Testament terms. But you know, there are indications in the New Testament that God judged churches because of individuals. I often quote or speak about the church in Corinth. And that's because we know so much about the church in Corinth. Two letters written to the church in Corinth. And you know, when you read 1 Corinthians, you immediately see there were people in Corinth who were in sin. There were people who were coming to the Lord's table drunk. There were men who were visiting prostitutes. There were people who were taking their fellow Christians to court. Now, when you read about the church in Corinth and you read these letters, you begin to see that all wasn't well with the whole church. The church was in chaos. Their services were chaotic. They weren't growing as Christians. Paul writes to them and says to them, by this time, he says, you should have been making progress in the Christian faith. And you haven't. You little babes, he says, I should be giving you meat, but I'm having to give you milk. You've made no progress. Now, some in the church were doing these things. I don't think every man in the church was visiting a prostitute or every man in the church was coming to the Lord's table drunk. Clearly, there were some who were not engaged in these sins. But because the sins, there were sins of some, it seems that God withheld his blessing from this church and there was this lack of growth. You see it also in the book of Revelation when you read Christ's letter to the church at Ephesus. We studied these letters in our Wednesday evening Bible study. But this is what Christ wrote to the church in Ephesus. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and so on. And he says, I know all these things that you have done, but I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Now, is it true that every member of the church in Ephesus had lost their first love for Christ? I think that's highly unlikely. That is not how local churches work. Local churches are like any church, like this church, like any church. And if you go into a local church, you will find by the grace of God, there are those who love the Lord Jesus and whose hearts are flowing with the love for Christ. And they will do anything for Christ. They'll make any sacrifice for Christ because they love Him and love Him and love Him. And there must have been some like that in Ephesus. I can't believe that every last member had grown cold and lost their first love. I can't believe that. Because it doesn't happen like that. But you see, when Christ spoke to the church, he didn't say, those members who've lost their first love, I'm going to remove, and those who still love me, I can see their hearts, they're going to remain. He says, I'm going to remove the church. When he says, I'm going to remove the lampstand, it is the church. I'm going to remove the church. So we have this teaching in the Bible that when some members fall into sin, judgment in certain ways falls upon the entire community. I'm going to develop that a bit further in my second point, because the second point is this. Consequences of Achan's sin. And it flows from the first one. People who were innocent of Achan's sin suffered. We're told that the next city after Jericho was Ai. And we're told that Joshua did a reconnaissance, not a big city. 2,000-3,000 men, you can send them, will take the city. And he sends about 3,000 men. And it says that they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai killed about 36 of their men and chased them before the gate as far as Shebarim and struck them at the descent. And the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And later you read that when Achan is judged, it says there that they took Achan and they took his sons and his daughters and his oxen and sheep and so on, and they were all killed. So there were people who were innocent of Achan's sin. The 36 men who died at Ai, they didn't share in Achan's sin. They weren't there when Achan took these things and hid them in his tent. They knew nothing about it. Very likely they didn't know Achan. Remember, we're talking about a large community of people, a few hundred thousand men. Some of them perhaps didn't even know the name of Achan. But their wives and children were left without fathers and husbands because Achan sinned. People who were innocent of Achan's sin suffered. And the whole nation becomes discouraged. The hearts of the people melted and became as water. It's a very important point. Don't forget that. When we think about the sufferings of Achan, we think about the 36 who died, and we think about his wife and children. And we forget this, that little phrase in verse 5, the hearts of the people melted and became as water. They were discouraged. Because that is usually the impact that sin has upon the community of God's people. We're here as a local church. And we love one another and we seek to make progress in the Christian life together. We all want to be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. We want to be holy, happy Christians. We want to keep in step with the Holy Spirit who has come to live in us. And we want Him to transform us into the image of Christ. We want to get rid of sinful habits and sinful attitudes and sinful words. And we want to be like Christ, as gracious and as loving and as kind as He was. And we make progress. And then we discover that somebody in our church has been engaged in some terrible sin. Or at a member's meeting, somebody stands up and they begin to speak words of anger and words of criticism. Bitter, angry words spit out in anger. And you know the effect it has upon the rest of the church. Even the people to whom those words were not directed. And there is always this atmosphere in the local, in the members' meeting. And people are so brokenhearted and so discouraged. And for weeks and months afterwards, there is this atmosphere in the meetings of the local church, Sunday services, Bible studies. There is this sort of, we've been scarred. We've felt. The words were spoken and they've had an impact upon our hearts. Sin always has consequences, and it had consequences on these people. 36 died and their wives and children left without a father and a husband. And then Achan's own family doesn't mention his wife, but it says his sons and his daughters. They were taken to this valley of Achor and they were burned with fire and stoned with stones. That was God's instruction. And God was teaching His people, if you sin, there will be consequences. There will be consequences on your loved ones. I think the worst thing a pastor has to do is when a couple call him in and they say, one of us has been unfaithful in our marriage. Will you help us to put our marriage back together? And usually you look at the innocent party and the pain and the suffering. And even after the person has repented and they've expressed genuine sorrow And they've expressed a genuine desire to break that habit and to come back to his spouse and to put together that marriage. And in many cases, they've continued in faithfulness. I think that pain never goes away. You go back to that couple 10 years down the line, and that pain is still there. I trusted you, and you let me down. My friends, we sometimes find sin very easy. We find it very easy to speak words which are unkind and critical and bitter and angry. We find it very easy to have attitudes which are not worthy of Christ. We find it very easy to hurt. And here is a lesson. Those who do not share in our sins will suffer. There is consequence. So the whole nation of Israel was judged. People who were innocent of Achan's sin suffered. And then the third point, and I've already made this point, but I wanted to emphasize it because it is made so clearly in the passage. And the third consequence is this, of course, that Achan and his family were punished for his sin. Achan doesn't escape. Achan is identified. It must have been a terrible time for him. Because God gives this instruction that Joshua is to bring the whole nation of Israel. And then they're going to draw lots. And he says, the tribe that is taken shall come near. And then the clan that is taken shall come near. And then the household that is taken shall come near. And then that household shall come man by man. Can you imagine being Achan? And you're there in the tribe of Judah. And you know what you've done. And you know it's your sin. You know it. And the lots are drawn in Judah. And so Judah is taken. And then the lots are drawn again. And it's your clan. And then the lots are drawn again. It's your household. And the men are set aside. Said, right, it's this household. And here are all the men of this household. And Achan is identified. Now, God is very gracious, and not all our sins are made public. But God himself sees, and God himself will deal with us when we fall into sin. Because God is our loving Father, and a loving Father will always discipline his children. There is no love in the Father who lets his children run wild and riotous and doesn't discipline them. That is not love. A loving father is very diligent. A loving father examines his children. And when he sees sin, a loving father will deal with that sin appropriately. It is dealt in love. It is in love that he does it. But it is disciplinary action. Achan was identified and Achan was punished. And if we fall into sin, well, it brings disrepute upon the people of God. And they start saying, we've always known the church was full of hypocrites, and there is proof. And those who have not shared in our sin suffer. And we ourselves will face the discipline of God, because these are the consequences of sin. I just emphasize that. Because it is so important for us always to remember the Bible's commands. We are to put away sin. We are to put to death the deeds of the flesh. We are to fight sin. We're not to give in to sin. Friends, let's examine ourselves. Let's be merciless with sin. And let's not indulge it. Because sin has consequences. Let's pray together. Our God and our Father, we thank you for the reminder of this very serious passage. What a terrible thing sin is. We pray, Lord, you help us always to remember this. We come under temptation all the time. Even this coming week, we will have temptations placed upon us. Please help us to remember that you see all things and all our sin has consequences. Help us, Lord, to resist. Help us to fight sin and to put it to death. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.